All right, Psalm 90. We've finished up the book of Nehemiah, and we finished up our Thrive series. If you missed any of that, I encourage you to go back on our website and pick up any of the sermons there. We're going to spend a couple weeks in the book of Psalms, just two, because I got to thinking, we're going into the book of Mark. We're going to study the book of Mark here soon, but we just needed to come up for breath just a little bit. And actually, I wanted to challenge myself in my preaching. And so if you remember through the book of Nehemiah, we basically took it at a chapter or two at a time. It was a narrative type of situation, and we wanted to make sure we got the entire narrative of what was happening. So I wanted to challenge myself and try to study and prepare texts and sermons based on shorter passages of Scripture. So we're going to be in Psalm 90, and the title of the message this morning is called Satisfied. Now, when we talk about it being Psalm 90, I'm going to read the entire psalm, but we're only going to focus on one verse this morning. So turn to Psalm 90. Let's read. Starting in verse 1. Actually, starting on in some of your scriptures, it says the eternal God, immortal man, and it says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Verse 1. Lord, you have been our refuge in every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. You return mankind to the dust, saying, return, descendants of Adam. For in your sight, 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by, like a few hours of the night. You end their lives and they sleep. They are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning it sprouts and grows. By the evening it withers and dries up. For we are consumed by your anger and we are terrified by your wrath. You have set your iniquities before you and our secret sins in light of your presence. For all our days ebb away under your wrath. We end our years like a sigh. Our lives last 70 years, or, if we're strong, 80 years. Even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they will pass quickly and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger? Your wrath matches the fear that is due you. Teach us the number of our days carefully, so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love, so that we may shout with joy and be glad all of our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, for the many years as we have seen adversity. Let your work be seen by your servants and your splendor by their children. Let the favor of the Lord your God, our God, be on us. Establish for us the works of your hands and establish the work of your hands. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look to these verses, as we look to this psalm, help it to encourage our hearts this morning. Help us to encourage us, to strengthen us, to see you high and lifted up as the author and finisher of our faith. And dear Lord, we just pray now that you be with this time. Forgive me of my sins. Help us as we look to you. Help us as we look to your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as I said before, the Bible is the only book that you cannot finish. Now, you may read it through, and you may say, I've read it from cover to cover. You may say that I've read it from cover to cover multiple times, but you will never finish it, because the depth of the things that you learn each and every time you study it will astound you, because it wasn't written by man ultimately. God used mankind to write Scripture, but ultimately, these are God's words to us, and we need to study them. We need to understand them. We need to draw closer to them. We need to find comfort in them. We need to be convicted by them. And I want to focus just on one verse this morning. I want to focus on verse 14, where it says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love, so that we may shout for joy and be glad all of our days." What a beautiful verse when you think about it. And we're going to break this verse down bit by bit here in just a second. But let's zoom out just a little bit and remember what it said at the first. This is a psalm of Moses. So this is a particular psalm in the Psalter that wasn't attributed to David or to an unknown author. This is a little bit of an aged psalm. Even at the time when they were collecting the psalms in the book, this was a different person who wrote this psalm. This was the prophet, this was the leader, Moses. And he was tasked with leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he had a particular viewpoint as he was writing this psalm, and he was prophesying and praising and singing praise to God in this psalm. And in this psalm, we see the eternality of God. He talks about it throughout the psalm. We see the brevity of humanity and how, compared to God, we are just a whisper in the night. And then we get to verse 14, and it's a cry. Moses cries out, "Satisfy us. Satisfy us." Have you ever been in a position to where you didn't have satisfaction in the situation or in the reality of your life or a time in your life where maybe things just weren't going right and you had this yearning to be satisfied, to reach some kind of level of satisfaction, whether it be you needed more money, whether it be you needed more wealth, health, and prosperity, whether it be you needed direction on where to take your life, you cried out for satisfaction. Thankfully, and we'll see a little bit later, that God provides that satisfaction for us. But we have to question, why was Moses asking for satisfaction? Why was he asking to be satisfied by God? Well, why do we ask to be satisfied by God? Ultimately, it's because we have a longing in our hearts. Genesis 3 started this whole process where we had this desire and this longing because of the sin that came into the world at that time. We had this longing for something because at that point, when Adam and Eve sinned, it broke the relationship that humanity had with God. We were formed, we are made as mankind, as humanity. We are the only creatures formed in God's image. We have a special place, a special relationship with God, because we are made in His image. And when sin came into our lives, that relationship was broken. That means we couldn't enjoy the fullness of what God could provide us because not of Him, but of us. And so that sin that came in broke that relationship. We were made to fellowship with Christ. We were made to fellowship with God. But that sin, that just shattered that relationship, then created a longing, a desire that needed to be satisfied. And in our pride, we look to other things to satisfy ourselves, don't we? We look to things outside of God Himself to satisfy us, right? Even Adam and Eve looked to something different from God. They only had one command to adhere to, and they couldn't even keep that one. And in their pride, they started to doubt. Satan tempted Eve with the words, "Did God say? Can you trust Him to satisfy your desires. Look on the beauty of the fruit of the tree. And our pride steps in and we think we know better than God. We think God is holding something from us. And that sin enters in. And then that starts this whole spiral of issues that mankind has, all types of longings, all types of patterns, all types of addictions, all types of things that try to fill that God-shaped void, as it's been called in the past. And every single thing falls short. Nothing can compare to the satisfaction that we find in God. So when Moses cries out, "Satisfy us," that should be the desire and longing of each of our hearts. Is ultimately we can only find satisfaction in Christ, in Him. Grant Castleberry says it this way: oftentimes the reasons for why things happen the way they always happen will remain a mystery, hidden only in the mind of God. One of the key principles of the Christian life, then, is to trust God and His character. He is sovereign and He is good. Close quote. So if you want true satisfaction, if you want God honoring satisfaction, the only thing that we can do is turn to the one who provides it. Now, hold your place in Psalm 90, and if you don't mind, flip to the New Testament. Flip to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Starting in verse 3. It said, "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another." In other words, to quote a popular song, we can't get no satisfaction. That's the sinful life that we are in. We are called then to take up our cross daily, die to all of those things, die to self, die to those desires that don't satisfy ultimately. Now, sin may satisfy you for a season. That's what Scripture says. But ultimately, our ultimate satisfaction can only be found in Christ Jesus. We are called to follow Him, because left to ourself, we will be left unsatisfied. Go back to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. "But when the kindness of our God," or God our Savior, "and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life." So we see the true satisfaction is found in Christ alone, in God alone. So Moses cries out, "Satisfy us." And then he makes this claim. He says, "Satisfy us in the morning." Back in Psalm 90. In the morning. Now, I don't want to get too legalistic in what I'm about to say, but there is some biblical thought behind this. Okay? So when you're calling out and you start the new day, my recommendation would be, before you grab your phone, before you turn on the news, before your feet hit the floor, praise. and pray. Read Scripture if you can. And again, not being legalistic about it, however, there is some merit to the fact that starting our day with Jesus will help satisfy our true desires and keep those sinful desires at bay. What does God say in Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23? It says, "Because of the Lord's faithful love, we shall not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness. So my encouragement to all of us, as you go through the rhythms of your life, make it a practice as early in the day as you can to spend some time alone with God. There is where you will find satisfaction, because you need to be reminded of His love. You need to be reminded of the fact that you are a sinner, and without Him, you will never be truly satisfied. You're reminded that every day you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. And again, without being legalistic and saying you must do it, I would encourage you in the rhythms of your life to do it as quickly as possible in the day. That way your mind is not cluttered with other things. That way it's fresh. His mercies are new every morning. You can remind yourself new every morning about His love and His grace. You can remind yourself that without Him, you don't have the ability to even control the own breath you breathe. We find satisfaction in Christ. We find that satisfaction as early in our days as possible. It speaks to the needs of our lives. It speaks to the fact that we have this yearning to be satisfied. And then there's an object that is called upon in verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love. With your faithful love. Again, going back to the Titus passage, think about what Paul told Titus there starting in verse 4. When the kindness of our God and Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness. So here's how He saved us. Here's how He loved us. It's not by the works of righteousness that we do. It's not by the fact that we're trying to find satisfaction in other things. It's not by the fact that we have this God-shaped void that we're trying to throw everything else in. It's not by anything we do. It's by what He has done. According to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, that He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. That's where we find our satisfaction, is the fact that when we are called children of God, we know that we will be in His presence for all eternity. The one that Moses in Psalm 90 talks about being from eternity to eternity, the one who controls everything, the one who tells Adam to go back to dust and Adam goes back to dust, we will be His children. And that satisfies our soul to know that we can live with our Savior forever and ever and ever. And then in verse 14, Moses goes on and tells us that it will give us joy. And joy is full of peace. It's that peace that passes all understanding, regardless of our circumstances. We can be in jail like Paul and Silas was, and we can sing at midnight praises to Him because we know we have that joy. We could be facing a diagnosis that we don't want to face. We could be facing the fact that one of our loved ones has been in an auto accident. We can face the fact that this world will not satisfy us. We can even look at the news and worry about our college campuses and worry about what's happening in the Middle East and still find joy in Jesus. And we should shout that message from the mountains, from the housetops, in the marketplaces, in our families, everywhere we go. Nothing else will satisfy us. Because remember the context of who's writing this song. Moses. Remember the context of where he was at. He was leading a stiff-necked, rebellious people to the promised land. He was hearing the murmurs of unsatisfaction, but he knew where satisfaction truthfully comes from. And it's from a relationship with Jesus. So if you've been struggling with not being satisfied in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I encourage you to remember this verse. Why? Because it helps us see that we can't find satisfaction in anything other than Christ. And if you're a Christian and you've repented of your sin and you start to be wayward a little bit, early in the morning I would encourage you to remember this truth. And if you're here or you're listening and you're not a believer in Jesus and you don't understand what we're talking about, I would love to explain it to you more, but let me give you this. You will not be satisfied with anything else other than Christ. You will go through your life, no matter how much riches you have, no matter how much of the addiction you give into, no matter what happens, you will never be satisfied outside of Jesus. That, I can promise you, not because of me, but because that's what God's Word says. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's great encouragement that even though we seek satisfaction, we know that we can be satisfied in you. And we know that even in our crying out to you, we will fall short. But because of your great love for us, that you satisfy our needs. You satisfy our desires to have that relationship with you that is broken because of sin. And that you went to the cross to purchase our salvation. And a part of that salvation is the satisfaction of knowing that we have a home. A home with you where there are no more tears, where there is no more pain, no more separation. We have a home in your presence, a relationship with you. That is true satisfaction. And if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that is struggling with the fact that they are living an unsatisfied life, I pray even now that they turn to you. And we commend this time to you. Move in the hearts and minds of those here, those listening over the website. We just pray that your hand will mightily move in this time and in this place. We thank you and we praise you. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.